Good morning. My Cajun friend, you say, how y'all are? I used to get tickled at him for that. I want to talk this morning from one of the Psalms, Psalm chapter 2. This helps to assure me, and I hope it'll assure you, that God is in control. I know the world we live in seems pretty chaotic, and it's just getting weirder and weirder. It seems hopeless, but we have a hope the world doesn't have. Now, we're hoping the world will find that hope in Jesus Christ. But, you know, Paul said we shouldn't be soon shaken in mind. And sometimes that's hard for us to do. I think we get our eyes on the situation and off of Christ, then it's a lot easier to get shaken up. This is a psalm of David. It's a messianic psalm. He's talking about the Christ. I'd like to open with prayer before you read the text. Father, I thank you for your word. I know your word is truth, Lord, and I thank you for the assurance that we have because of your word, that we can have faith in you, Father. I thank you for all that are here this morning to hear your word. Lord, I pray that I will decrease, that you may increase, that you will speak to us from this word. Encourage us, warn us, Lord. Help us to be the people that you would have us to be in Christ. And I ask it in his name. Amen. All right. Psalm chapter 2. It's the whole psalm. It's only 12 verses. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is kindled quickly, quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. As I said, we live in a world today, a fallen world, and a world for the most part hates God. That's sometimes hard for us to get a hold of, but the scriptures bear out very plainly that the world hates God. I'm glad that God loves the world. And he continues to love us in spite of the hatred that men and women show for him. This began in the Garden of Eden when the first man and the first woman rebelled against God's commandment. He told them, don't eat off this tree, you will die. And it's always amazed me when I think about it, the tree of life was there. He didn't tell them they couldn't eat off of that. I've heard some say, well, they had no concept of death. I really don't believe that. Jesus said, eternal life is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And there God presented two choices, life and death, and they chose death. And ever since then, men and women have lived in rebellion against God Almighty. They see his laws as restrictive, as restraints, as chains. And they want to break loose from them. And that's how the psalmist begins to talk about the attitude of men and women. The psalm begins with God asking mankind a question. Why are you angry at me? Why do you plot against me? You know, that's the very epitome of foolishness for people to plot against God. You're not going to win. It's the very epitome of foolishness for people to think they can cast off God's moral restraints and do as they please. Now you can, you have a free will, you can cast that off if you choose, but there are consequences that come with that. Dire consequences, terrible consequences. But God begins by asking mankind, why are you angry with me? And then you see the arrogance of the men and the women of that day and of this day. He said the kings of the earth set themselves. That means they take their stand. They take a stubborn stance against the Lord God, and they defiantly look at him and say, let's get rid of him. Let's get rid of the anointed. Let's break his chains. We're going to do what we want to do. That is arrogance. Adam and Eve tried it in the garden. Where did he get them? Sin and death entered the world. Satan entered the world, and he is called the God of this world. Now, I had a guy ask me about that once. I said, when the Bible speaks of the world, it's speaking about the system, the political system, the government system of the world, the governments of men. When it talks about the earth, it's talking about the planet. So when the Bible says Satan is the god of this world, it doesn't mean he's the god of this planet, but he is the god of the governments of this world. I don't know that there's any godly form of governments left in the world. They call the United States a godly nation, but that's not true. We have allowed the murder of 60 million children in this country since Roe versus Wade. We tell sexual deviants, you are normal. In fact, we think you're so normal, we're going to allow you to marry. Marriage is a covenant that was established by God Almighty between one man and one woman. Not between Adam and Steve. And the church sits quietly by. And we do not speak against it. Well, we don't want to be political. Hogwash. We're just afraid of bringing pressure upon ourselves and the heat and the repercussions that come from standing for the truth. The world today has the attitude, you Christians just keep your mouth shut, stay over here, do your blessed assurance and sing to Jesus, but don't you dare tell me that what I'm doing is wrong. I've had people tell me, I don't want to hear it. And I say, that's fine, then I don't want to tell you about it. That's my attitude, church. It may be a bad attitude, but that's the way I feel. I read Anton LaVey's book on Satanism, and he said one of the biggest pet peeves Satanists has is Christians offering their opinions without being asked. And I said, you know, that's fair. That is fair. The world doesn't want our opinion. The world doesn't want God. We've kicked him out of the public schools. That's why they're so heathenistic today. If you have a Christian teacher in a public school, they are outnumbered and they cannot speak about their faith unless a child asks them specifically about it. And then they have to be careful what they say. We still have in God we trust on our money, but this nation doesn't trust God. It doesn't fear God. Do you understand God is somebody to fear? And I've heard these panty-waisted preachers stand up and go, you don't have to be afraid of God. He's not mad at anyone. Well, I don't know what book you're reading, but my book said he's full of wrath and fury. Now, God is the ultimate expert at anger management. Yeah, I hear, you know, you need to have some anger management. No, I got plenty of anger. I don't need to manage anymore. But the Bible says God is storing his wrath up. I see God, he gets angry, and he said, I'll just set that aside. Time for mercy. I'm going to show love. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to show steadfastness. But guess what? Church, there's a day coming when God's going to open that whole can of wrath. And he will pour it out on the ungodly and those who have spoken against him and those who have defied him and said, who do you think you are? They're going to find out who he is. The kings of the earth set themselves up, the rulers, against the Lord and against his anointed. Who is his anointed? Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. It breaks my heart to hear the Jews are still praying for the Messiah. He's been here. The Mashiach has been here. He was crucified on a Roman cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, and the scriptures say he was declared to be the Son of God with power through the Spirit of holiness. I like his introduction to John in Revelation. He said, I was alive and I was dead, but I'm alive forever now, John. He'll never die again. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Almighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. Death couldn't hold him. In him all things exist. He created all things. He holds them all together by the word of his power. Do you hear God's response to the arrogance of man? I laugh at you. I hold you in derision. I looked this up in the Hebrew. I've never had Hebrew or Greek. I have Dr. Strong's concordance. His exhaustive concordance, that's what I count on. To laugh in Hebrew can mean to giggle, to chuckle. It also means to mock and to scorn. And Dr. Strong said, God says to man, I scorn you. You can rant. You can rave. You can tell me you're going to cast me off. And God said, I just laugh at that. Now, Wayne was talking about our faith this morning, the assurance we have. Isaiah prophesied that prophecy 750 years before Jesus was born. This is 1,000 years before Jesus is ever born. And do you hear what God said to men? I've already installed my king. Praise God. He's already on my holy hill, Zion. You can rant, you can rave, you can resist, but he's already king. He gives us a warning. Kiss the Son. God said, be advised, kings, leaders, rulers. I'm going to put it in Hebrew. You best kiss the Son. Dr. Adam Clark said that is a kiss of friendship and homage. The monarchs in the day of Jesus, when they were approached, were used to their subjects bowing down and kissing them on the feet, especially if they had a petition to make. That's the kiss God's talking about. He's saying, you better figure out he is the king. You better understand he is the judge. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Well, I encourage you to do that today. Don't wait till then, because if you wait till then, it'll be too late. There's coming a day, people, that God's mercy will close. No more access. For those who are not in Christ, it'll be finished. No more mercy. No more chances. Those who choose to follow him now will be rewarded. Those who reject him now will suffer eternal punishment in the lake of fire that was made for the devil and his angels. God didn't make it for us. We opened the door. And he has done everything in his power, everything possible to keep us out of there. A big problem I see in a lot of churches today, and I know you think, well, boy, you see a lot of problems. Yes, I do. We've lost our fear of God. He is a holy God. He is to be honored and respected and feared and awed. And we've lost that. We've lost our respect for his word. And that just goes back to Eden, church. Remember the opening line of the serpent with Eve? Did God really say? Boy, that's predominant in the churches today. Well, is this really God's word? Well, if it's the King James, it is. But, you know, if it's the other translations, it's not God's word. Let it go. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. What an assurance, church. It doesn't matter if you want to read the King James, the NIV, the ESV, the NASB. It doesn't matter. The Word of God is true. The Word of God will stand when all the smoke clears and everything else is burned. The Word of God will be there. And God has offered in this new covenant to write His Word in our hearts and in our minds. And we don't bother picking it up. It's like we think God's going to take it and just shove it down our throats. I trained as an artilleryman when I was in the Army. We spent several weeks in class studying about cannons, about explosives, about munitions before they ever let us touch a gun. Why is it sometimes we Christians pick our Bibles up when we're in trouble? Oh, things are going bad. I better get the Word. Where was that at that I heard about that? Used to be read every day. God said, meditate on it. Think about it. Meditate means think deeply. Reflect on it. You know, well, I try to read a chapter a day. That's great. Do you meditate on it? Or do you read it and walk away and 10 minutes later you forget what you read? That's not meditation, church. That's not reflection. Is God a liar? No, thank you. Is His Word truth? Then why do we want to spend our times in the idiot box watching the light of the television instead of the light of the Word of God? You want to be lied to, watch TV. Am I up here trying to bash us? No. I'm saying God is in control. The Bible says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, when I was in Bible college, we studied different theologies. We studied different doctrine. And there's some that say that God predetermined before He ever created us who would be saved and who would be damned. And if you were born to be saved, you can't be damned. If you were born to be damned, you can't be saved. I studied that for several years, and I've come up with a theological retribution that I think is solid. The plan of salvation was predetermined before the world began. God has given you and me a free will, no different than He did the Israelites. When He gave them the law of Moses, He said, I give you life and death, blessing and cursing, you choose life. He didn't get them in a headlock and say, you're going to choose life. God said to the rulers then and to the rulers now and to the rulers it will be when you and I are dirt in the ground. I've already set my king on Zion, my holy hill. What a promise, church. We go through terrible skirmishes as believers. Satan's not going to leave you alone. You remember when he tempted the Lord, the book of Luke says, he left him until a more opportune time. Peter said he's like a prowling lion. Lions don't go out to a herd and go, somebody lay down, I'm hungry. You ever watch those shows? Lions will lay there and they will watch the herd. They will weed out the sick or the weak or the old. And especially those who are not alert. You can see the other animals, they begin to sniff the air and their ears prick up and they think something's not right. And they start working away and there's always the animals that aren't paying any attention. And then next thing they know, that lion's got them by the throat and it's all over. Peter said, our enemy is like a roaring lion. But praise God, Jesus Christ defanged him. He has no power over us, church. We have to fight battles. We are forced to get involved in battles. And sometimes we can lose a skirmish, but I guarantee you the war's already been won. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, waiting until all of His enemies will be made a footstool. And the Bible said the last enemy He'll conquer is death. For He'll descend with a shout, with a voice, with a loud trumpet call, and all the dead shall be raised. It doesn't matter to me what you do with this body when I'm gone. Cut it up, pass it around, give it to science. My wife says she's going to have me stuffed and mounted by a taxidermist and use me for a coat rack. I said, that's fine. I don't care. But you won't keep it down. You can't burn enough. You can't cut it up enough. You can't spread it out enough. When this body turns to dirt, if the Lord tarries, he made the first man out of dirt. He's not going to have any trouble forming this guy up out of the dirt. You believe that? My dad served in Korea. I'm going to close with this. He was an assault boat coxswain. That's the guy that drives the troops to the beach, the live ones, and brings the dead and the wounded back. And he had a lot of respect for the Turkish soldiers. Sometimes they'd come to ship, they'd get a little break, and they'd bring him to the ship and let him eat a hot meal. And he was talking to one of them one day, and they're fierce fighters. He said the American soldier said, them Turks are something else, man. Said them Chinese beat on pans and blow bugles and charge, and he said it just freaks you out. That's my term. It just scares you to death. It catches you off guard. He said them Turkish soldiers will grab pots and pans and beat on them and charge right back at them. And Dad said he got to talk to one of the Turkish soldiers one day and said, why is that? He said, I'm already dead. He said, what do you mean you're already dead? He said, we do our last rites before a battle, so I'm dead. He said, you can't hurt a dead man. When I go into that battle, I'm dead. We need to learn something from that, church. Paul said, I die daily. You remember when he's talking about the persecutions he went through? He said, we already considered ourselves dead. Our lives aren't ours. They belong to the Lord. When it's time for you to go and God calls you, there's no reprieve from that. You're going to go. But until he calls you, they ain't going to kill you. Do you believe that? Yeah, I'm not wanting to test the theory. I know. We feel, well, I just don't want to push it. Listen, church, God is in control. Jesus Christ is on the throne. Everything is in submission to him. Does that mean I need to be cocky? Nope. To me, it means that I need to be assured. I watch the news sometimes. I want to drop kick that television out the window sometimes. But I keep remembering, God's in control. Those idiots out there think they're in control. They're not in control. I guess I shouldn't call them idiots. Sorry about that. God said, I've already set my king on Zion, my holy hill. One day we're going to see him return. And I hope we'll be able to stand before him without shame, without shrinking back. I would like for the church to be able, as the Apostle Paul, to say, Lord, we finished the fight. We have kept the faith. Would you stand with me this morning? We all struggle. We all have doubts. I've been a believer for 40 years. I still find myself doubting. I find myself struggling. But I want to assure you this morning, some of the darkest times of my life when I felt the presence of God the strongest, when I felt him right there beside me. If you've never called on God, the Bible says you got to call on him. You have to invoke. It doesn't say the little sinner's prayer. It says call out to him. I invite you to do that today. You don't have to come up here and do it in front of people. We're not trying to embarrass you or put you on the spot. You can do it where you're standing. Today is the day of salvation. If you're struggling with things, temptations, trials, problems, lay them at his feet. It says he cares for you. Yeah. He doesn't always tell you what you want to hear, but he'll always tell you what you need to hear. That's the kind of God I serve.